Follow Pano. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you to be with us these 3 days that we are going to be together. Lord, time with you is never wasted. Time with you is very special. So we ask you to come and touch our hearts with your love. Fill us with the power of your Spirit. Make our hearts burn for you. Mary, our Mother, teach us how to love your Son, Jesus, with the same love that you have for him. Can we pray the Hail Mary together?
Zdrowaś Maryjo, łaski pełna, Pan z Tobą, błogosławionaś Ty między niewiastami i błogosławiony owoc żywota Twojego, Jezus. Święta Maryjo, Matko Boża, módl się za nami grzesznymi, teraz i w godzinę śmierci naszej. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. My friends, I want to greet you. I remember the first words that Pope John Paul II said when he was elected and spoke. They have chosen one from a far country. And I'm really from a very far country. But I bring all the greetings from Australia. Of course, in Australia there are many Polish people. And also I have worked with some Polish people. And they taught me a word. And wherever I go and meet Polish people, I always say this word. But I always hope that it comes out right. Bookstore. And also I have met my friend over here, who has got a very close friend, who's a Jesuit. And he is the main chaplain of the Polish people in Australia. I know him quite well. He's a very fine man. And of course I've just come from Łódź, where we had the forum, Charismatic Renewal Forum. And I have to say, there were about 1,600 people, Remy? 1,600 people.
2,000.
2,000. But what really impressed me is that there were a lot of Jesuits there. Normally, I don't associate Jesuits and Charismatic Renewal. But the Lord works in funny ways and very powerfully. And it's really good to see the superior of the Jesuit community dancing in front of all those 2,000 people. I just would like to start by saying something about myself. My friends, I was born in Malta. I was born in 1948. So I'm 58 at the moment. And I became a bishop at 49. It's too early, I think. So I went to the seminary in Malta. And I did my first 4 years of philosophy. And also a degree at the university. And after 4 years, there was a tremendous missionary spirit in my time in Malta. And we were brought up with the idea that the world is your parish. So parish is not the parish where you were born, but it's the whole world. So we grew up with an amazing mentality. We were really trained to think big. We're really trained to dream big. And I always felt the need of going out of Volta towards the world. And at first my superiors told me that the United States would be a good place for me. But it wasn't the 1960s after Vatican II. And there was so much confusion around. And everybody was saying things that I don't know where they got them from. So my spiritual director told me, you better not go to the States because I don't like what's coming out of the States. So one day the director sent for me. And he said to me, the Archbishop of Melbourne is coming to Malta. And he's going to visit the families of the priests who are working in Melbourne. I said, why don't you go and talk to him? So I went to talk to him. And he said to me, if you'd like to come to Melbourne, you're most welcome. And that was it. I went to Melbourne. Where I finished my theology. I came back to Malta to be ordained because all my family is still in Malta. And I was ordained on 30th of November 1974. For the first 15 years I was an assistant priest in parishes. As you can imagine, Australia, there are people from 185 nations in Australia. So I worked with all types of people. And it was a great time. Then I was appointed parish priest in 1988. And I thought, I have reached the pinnacle. That I was now, I had my parish and my house. But not even 12 months went by when the Archbishop asked me to go to Rome to study. And I really didn't want to go to study. Because I said to him, I came from Malta to work with people, leave me alone. But I remember he said to me, you see things from your window and I see things from my window. So I went and did spirituality at the Gregorian. And I had a great time. It was a very good time. So when I went back to Melbourne, the Archbishop asked me to be a full-time chaplain for Catholic Charismatic Renewal in the Archdiocese of Melbourne. And he says, I'll give you an appointment for 3 years. And after 3 years, he says, I'll give you another appointment for another 3 years. And I was very happy with all that. But then, after 12 months of the second 3 year period, my archbishop resigned because of ill health. And the new archbishop was appointed. Who is the present Cardinal Archbishop of Sydney. And he said to me after a while, he says, I need you to go to the seminary as a spiritual director. So I went to the seminary as spiritual director for 2 years. And the first year it was very hard. Because working with people in prayer groups, I was dealing with people, the more you give them, the more they want. In the seminary it was very different. It's all over the world like that. And the door was closed to me. It was very hard work. But after the first 12 months, things improved. And I was really enjoying myself. But after the second year, I received a letter from the Holy Father asking me to be an auxiliary bishop. And I have to say it was a shock because I did not expect it. I was asked to take care of the western side of the Archdiocese of Melbourne. It's a place where there are many migrants. It's an area where there were about 60 parishes. And again, I was really enjoying myself. And it seems with God that when we start to enjoy ourselves, He sort of gives us another challenge. Because after 2 years, I was asked to go as an ordinary of this diocese where I am. The diocese where I am is about 130 kilometers north of Melbourne. There are 40 parishes, about 250,000 people, with 32 active priests. And when I went to this diocese in 2001, there were no students at the seminary, and the last ordination was 12 years before. And this is where I want to start. My friends, my brothers, we need to understand who we are in God. As people who believe in Jesus Christ, but especially as priests of God, we have got a very, very special vocation. My friends, our vocation is not simply to do a few nice things to one another. Of course, we should do them too. Our vocation is not simply to say a few nice things to one another. We should also do that. But I'm called as people, and especially as priests, is to change our society, is to change our world, based on the values of Jesus, based on the principles of Jesus, and based on the teaching of Jesus. And we are in the front line. We are the people who are the prophets. We are the people who are supposed to give the lead. And we need to understand this as priests. And my friends, I'm going to be very honest with you these 3 days. And I have come here from a very far country, as I said. So I want to give you the best. Because I believe you deserve the best. Very recently, Pope Benedict XVI was in Austria. And he spoke to the parliament in Austria, 254 parliamentarians. And he spoke about the most essential elements pertaining to Europe. However, I believe that these principles apply to the whole world. And he spoke about 3 things. Number one, the defense of human life. Number two, concern about the low birth rate. But the third one, the importance of maintaining our identity as Christian people. As Christian people, our identity as Christian people. It's so vitally important for you and I to understand our identity. It's so vital for you and me to understand who we are. It's so vital for you to understand and for me to understand what is our call to the priesthood entails. And in his encyclical Deus Caritas Est, paragraph number one, at the start of it. The Benedict XVI said this. Being a Christian is not a matter of an ethical choice. A matter of an ethical choice. Or a lofty ideal, or a big ideal. But an encounter. An encounter with an event. An encounter with a meeting, a close personal relationship with an event. A close encounter with a person who gives life a new horizon and a decisive direction. My brothers, this is our call. For us to experience a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And permit me to say this to you as brothers. And as I said, I'm going to be very honest with you. It's not enough to know about Jesus. It's not enough to read about Jesus. It's not enough to reflect on about Jesus. That is all good. That is all very good. But it is vital to know Jesus. It is vital to know Jesus Christ as my personal friend. Because you and I have been baptized. You and I have been confirmed. And you and I have been ordained to this priesthood. And therefore this Jesus Christ is alive in you and me in a very powerful and special way. And our people need the Jesus Christ. That's what our people are yearning for. That's what our people are really wanting. And my friend, you know, we can be the best organizers in the whole world. We can build the best buildings in the whole world. But if we don't give our people Jesus, what are we doing? And that is what I tell to my priests. I tell to my priests, I want you to be holy men of God. I want to have your heart burning for God. I want really for you to take every opportunity to really pray with our people. And it's the same with my seminarians. It's the same with my seminarians. I've got 5 at the moment. And besides the big holidays at Christmas time, and besides the holidays at Christmas time, they have two weeks holidays twice a year. And I always say to them, your first week of holidays is mine. You come and live with me. And I'll teach you what I know. Because I am very conscious that the seminary can't give everything. It can't give all the formation that is necessary. Our seminaries can give the basic formation. But I'm speaking about my own country. Our seminaries don't teach our people, our seminaries, how to become on fire for God. We're very good intellectually. We're very good academically. We're very good pastorally. But there's no fire. And how can we define to our people if we don't have it ourselves? I'm not a big philosopher. I have forgotten most of my philosophy. But there are certain things that I remember. And one of the things that I remember is this. Nemo dat, quid? You can't give it if you haven't got it. It's the same with our vocation, my friends. If we are not on fire with our God ourselves, how can we get on fire our people? And our people are yearning for an experience of Jesus Christ. And again, I speak from my own experience in Australia. It's the country that I know. You can apply it to your own country here. But one of the fastest churches in Australia are the Pentecostal churches. And it's useless for us to sort of say things against them. We're not going to solve anything by pointing fingers at them and condemn them. Yes, their theology is wrong. But I tell you what, they are drawing our people. They are giving our people a sense of belonging. They are giving our people an experience of Jesus Christ. And I say to myself, why can't we do the same? We've got everything that they have got. And we've got many more things that they have got. Because we've got the Eucharist, we've got the sacraments, we've got so many other things. My friends, as I look at the scriptures, and if I may, if you permit me, could you please bring your Bibles to me? Because we'll be using the Bible a lot. When I look at the scriptures, and I look at how God called people, there are always three things that happens when God calls somebody to do something. First thing, when God calls for us to do something, it seems impossible to do it. I always find that whenever God calls somebody to do something, it's too difficult to do it. If I go to Moses, what was his call? To go to Pharaoh. The Pharaoh who was the leader of the greatest empire of those days. And to say to this guy, let my people go, let the Jewish people go. It's comparable today if I was sent to President Bush. And to tell him, look, what you're doing is wrong, you better change your policy. And we know that the economy of Egypt in those days depended on the Jewish slaves. Okay. We know that the economy of Egypt in those days depended on the Jewish slaves. And yet that was his call. Just go to him and tell him to free my people. If I look at the prophet Jeremiah, what was his call? And you read it in chapter 1 of the prophet Jeremiah. He was asked to go to the leaders of the town, of the city. And to tell them, look, you know, open the gates. Let the enemy come in. Let the enemy destroy you. Let the image destroy. Because you have not been faithful to God.
Ponieważ nie byłeś faithful, wierny Bogu.
What a calling. That's what he was asked for. Let's look at Mary. A young girl. Asked him to be the mother of God. And she wasn't married. That's what God does. God doesn't ask us to do something simple.
Bóg
doesn't call us to do something simple. God asks us to do something big. Because God's word is big. So that's the first thing. The second thing is this. No wonder the reaction is always to pull back.
Druga rzecz jest to, że reakcja nasza jest, aby się odwrócić.
No wonder the first reaction is to say, I can't do it.
Pierwsza reakcja jest, nie mogę tego zrobić.
Look at Moses, the first thing that he said, he found so many excuses for not doing what God asked him to do. And all of a sudden he found that he couldn't talk. What about Jeremiah? The first thing that he said to God was, I'm but a child, don't choose me, I can't talk, I'm just a child. What about Mary? How could this be? I'm a virgin. I'm not married. Excuse me, God, do you understand what you're asking of me? I'll be in very serious trouble if I'm found pregnant and Joseph had nothing to do with it. So that's the second. But the third thing is this. That God always comes back. And he says, I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. But I'm not going to change it. Don't think this is your work. Don't think that you can do it on your own. Don't be foolish to think that you can do it without me. I have chosen you. And I will still choose you. And you will go to do it. But with me. My friends, that's our call. And if I can put it in a very brief words, what our call is. I'll go to the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 1. And what his Paul says is very simple, yet very powerful. He says, I praise God because he has blessed us with all blessings in heaven and on earth. I thank God because he has blessed us with all blessings. And here we go. He has called us before the foundations of the world. That means God called us from eternity. To be holy. To be set apart for him. That's our call. That's our vocation. And therefore from tonight, my friends. And I'll finish here tonight. You just go and give some time to our God tonight. And just stay. Lord, what do you want from me? What do you want from me so that I become more and more a priest after your own heart? Lord, make me experience you alive in my heart. Lord, make me understand that you are very much alive in me. Lord, may whatever I am, I will bring you with me.
Panie, gdziekolwiek jestem, gdziekolwiek jestem, niech Ciebie jakby niosę z sobą.
Lord, may whenever people see me, they also see you.
Kiedykolwiek mnie ludzie widzą, nie widzą również Ciebie.
Lord, may I be a source of your blessing, but whoever I meet, every day of my life.
Niech będę źródłem błogosławieństwa dla kogokolwiek spotkam na mojej drodze.
You just go and spend some time with this God.
Spędźcie czas z Bogiem.
Because, my friends, it's not really important what I say to you tonight, today and the following days. But it's important to have God say what He wants to say to you and to me. But courage. Because God has chosen us. And God hasn't chosen rubbish. God has chosen very good people.
Bóg wybiera bardzo dobrych ludzi.
Amen. Amen.